For those of you who have been around for the last year, you know that a year ago we began a journey through the Bible. A year ago we began in Genesis. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God sent out God's heart into the world and formed the sun, the stars, the sky, the trees, the creatures, Adam, Eve, you, and me. And we've traced that story throughout the scripture this year, the story really of God's heart. The story of God's heart through famine, through the desert, through injustice, through the miracle of birth, through the crush of death, through the celebration of resurrection. The story of Scripture reveals a God that risks love over and over again and stays with us in the middle of whatever life brings. At the close, as we wrap up this book, next week we'll have a celebration and hear from those who have been reading along, not just through the Bible, but also through Brian McLaren's book, We Make the Road by Walking, which has been our guide this year. So we'll hear from some people and their experience this past year. But this week, we come to that last chapter, chapter 52. And we've taken 2 weeks to go through it. A couple of weeks ago, Jason preached on the story of the prodigal son, which is one of the texts that Brian suggests for the end of the book, the end of the series. And this week morning, I am preaching on the other one, which is Romans 8, 31 through 39 that Morgan just read. Now, if you had to ask me what two texts I would use to end this study through the Bible, I would have to say I would have picked the exact same two texts. And in fact, the one this morning, Romans 8, 31 to 39, is my favorite text in the Bible. And I don't just mean it like I usually say it of, oh, this is my favorite poem or my favorite flavor ice cream. Like, this one really is my favorite. I use it all the time. When life is stripped down to its bare essentials, I go to this passage. When I am in a hospital room or in the hospice house with someone who is dying, this is the first one that comes to my mind. If someone were to ask me, what Bible verses sum up your theological beliefs, I would say Romans 8:39. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is such a huge core for me that I actually, at first I was looking forward to preaching this morning, and then I started getting a little nervous partway through the week because I thought, it's so familiar, and I know it so well, and I use it all the time. Can I see it with fresh eyes again? But as I read it, it was verse 32 that really struck me this week. God, who did not withhold God's own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will God not with Christ also give us everything else? God did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us. In my early 20s, I lived in Budapest, Hungary, right after the communist wall had come down. And I traveled all over Europe. I thought nothing of getting on a train or getting in a taxi or getting in one of those rickety old Russian planes that they used in the former communist countries and flying from place to place. Goodbyes were not that difficult for me because I couldn't wait for whatever the next adventure would bring. And then I met and married Chris. And then we had two daughters who are daring to grow up and become independent and go off on their own. And then I became the owner of this beautiful golden retriever who was in the latter years of her life. And all of a sudden, I do not do goodbyes as well as I used to. All of a sudden, before I'd leave on a plane or one of them would leave, I'd be up the night before with a sick stomach, imagining the worst possible things that could happen when we were apart. Since these precious creatures came into my life, I feel a lot more vulnerable. And that is what love is. When we truly love someone or something, we become vulnerable. To love is to be vulnerable, and to be vulnerable is to risk pain. We don't want to be in pain, so we shut down vulnerability. We shut it down through trying to be and hold everything in control all the time, through denying the reality, through closing our heart off, through holding back our true self in shame, through blaming others and externalizing it in anger, through looking around every corner in fear. We find these methods, and often we find them for a reason, because the world isn't safe, and there's good reasons to put up defenses to love and to protect our vulnerability. That's part of the work of often childhood and early development and the pain we go through. Sometimes these strategies that we have to stave off vulnerability work for us and are good for a while. But they don't work in the long term. In the long term, they stop us from actually experiencing and being and loving in this world. And so part of growing up, part of maturing, part of growing into the love of God that we read about in Scripture is doing the hard work of telling the truth, of paying attention to how we have come up with these strategies in our world, in our lives, to put off love. We think that we can hold on to love and put off vulnerability, but we can't. To love is to be vulnerable. French mystic Simone Weil said this, I love this, all sins are attempts to fill voids. All sins are attempts to fill voids. The tragic paradox is that all the strategies that we devise to push away vulnerability become voids in our lives, where we are closed to love. But is it possible? I mean, we just went through and people shared the pain and the struggle and the sickness and the tragedy in our world. Is it possible to live a life of love, to walk with a broken heart, open heart into our world when such it can be so painful? Paul says it's possible. Because it's exactly what God does. God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. God, whose son walked in this world. God, whose heart walks with each of us. God, who was with each of those 71 people who died in a truck in Austria this week. God, who was with the reporter and the cameraman and the deputy sheriff in Texas. God, whose heart also wept and longed for their assailants. A God who exists in vulnerability because God has chosen to be with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of a God that loves that deeply, that loves so vulnerably. Leo Tolstoy wrote a story about a poor shoemaker named Simon, and the story, short story, What Men Live By. Simon had gone to town to get some money to sell some things and hopefully to be able to buy a coat for he and his wife, because they were down to one threadbare coat that they shared between the two of them. But he wasn't able to get the money, and as he walked home in discouragement, he justified to himself the vodka that he had just bought, because that was all he did have money for. And he walked by a young man on the road who was naked. And when he saw him for the first time, he said, "Well, there's nothing I can do for him. I don't even have food and a coat myself, so I might as well just cross on the other side of the road and keep walking." But something stirred inside of him, and he decided to go back, and he took this young man, Michael, and he walked him home, dreading his wife's response when he got there. And typically, as he expected, she was incredibly angry. "We don't even have enough for ourselves. How can you bring someone home with you? How are we going to feed him? We barely have enough bread for just you to eat tonight." And she went on and on, getting more and more angry, and was about to throw this young man out, when Simon turned to her and said simply, "Matryona, have you no love of God?" And in that moment, her heart turned from her fear, turned from the scarcity of their own lives, and turned in love to this young man. And so they shared with this young man what they had. And in that moment, for the first time, this young man smiled. His name was Michael, and he stayed for another year. And it turns out he was really good at making shoes. So Simon began to make money and began to be more prosperous, and they hoped that Michael would never leave because he was such a great worker and part of their household. And a very wealthy man came to see Simon to ask him to make shoes for him, and he brought out the most beautiful leather you could imagine. And he said to Simon, "You had better make good shoes out of these, because this is my finest leather and I'm trusting you with it, and if something happens to it, it's going to be your head." So Simon took it, and as they were talking, Michael looked just beyond the wealthy man and smiled. And the wealthy man laughed and went home. And Michael took the leather and he began to make shoes, but instead of shoes, he made slippers. Now, he had not made a mistake in an entire year, and so imagine Simon's surprise when he came in and he found that Michael had made slippers instead of shoes. He was angry and frustrated and afraid for his life. And just as he was about to explain all this, there was a knock on the door, and it was the servant of the wealthy man who said, "Don't make the shoes. My master died on the way home from your house last night. And we need it to be made into slippers instead for him to be buried in." 6 years later, Michael is still with the family. He's only smiled those two times so far. But one day, a woman came in with two beautiful daughters. And one had a lame leg and was struggling to walk, and the other one was fine. They were twins, and she came in and began to talk. And as in the conversation, they learned that these two daughters were not her biological children. And she told them the story of her neighbors that had both died, the father and then the mother. And when she went to check in on her neighbor, she found that the woman had died and left her two twin daughters there. And because she was nursing her own son, she was able to take these girls into her home, and she nursed them, and they became a part of her family. And when her son died before he turned two, these girls became her life, became so important to her. And she truly delighted in them. As she told her story, Michael smiled a third time. When she left, Michael began to glow, and he told Simon and Matryona that actually he was an angel. He was the angel that had been sent by God to accompany the soul of the mother of these girls to heaven. And when he got there and he saw the poverty and he saw that she had children, he went back to God and he said, "I can't do it. I can't accompany her soul." And God said, "You must go and you must stay and learn three things. You must stay and learn what is inside of people. You must also learn, second one is, what is not given to people. And thirdly, you must learn what people live by." And so he went down, and the soul of this mother rose to God, and Michael fell to the earth where Simon had found him on that day. And his three smiles tell you the three times he learned those lessons. The first one was when Matryona had changed her heart from anger and fear to love. He learned that beyond anger and desperation, beyond the worst of ourselves, love dwells in the heart of people. The second time he smiled was when he saw that he saw an angel next to the wealthy man who had come to get his shoes. Only Michael could see him, but he knew that angel, and he knew that that angel had come to accompany that man's soul to God that day. And so he knew in that moment that it is not given to people to know what's going to happen. In other words, we're vulnerable and we live in vulnerability whether we want to acknowledge it or not. The third time he smiled was when he heard the story of the woman who had taken these girls in as her own. He heard and knew that people live by love. And that it is in love that we can bear our vulnerability. It is in our connection to each other that gives us life. And it is God who gives that love. Michael concludes, "I have understood that though it seems to people that they live by care for themselves, in truth it is love alone by which they live. The one who has love is in God, and God is in him or her, for God is love." God's love never stops. And we are invited to risk vulnerability, to live in that love.